Bad. My father got baptized with the ducks, amen. We baptized him in a pond, and he tells everybody he got baptized with the ducks. But we had two of us had to do it because he was in braces and crutches and couldn't walk, and so into the water. So we did. We walked him down in there and baptized him. But amen, those ducks, they'll get part of it. That's all right, amen. But praise the Lord. Well, preacher asked me to preach a little bit on baptism today, so that's what I'm going to do, amen. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Amen. Acts 8, 26. Start right there. If I'm a little loud, my hearing aid batteries went out on me, so I can't hear half of what I'm saying. So I'll talk loud so I can hear, and then you can hear, right? Amen. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he openeth not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, thank you for the great privilege it is to be back. Lord, thank you for the privilege of preaching. Lord God, the best I know how, I've studied, prepared, and prayed. And Lord God, I'm asking you now to take what you've given me and Lord, put it through my lips, God, as though you would do it yourself, is exactly what you would say. Lord God, please help us. Father, best I know how, I give you the vessel. Ask you, God, fill it to overflowing, and may the overflow speak to each heart. And we'll thank you for what you do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. We got the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he's reading that scripture in Isaiah 53, and as he reads it, you know, we see something in him. We see the Lord sees a desire in his heart to know more about him. He's just come from worship, okay? So he's been in service. He's been together with believers, per se, right? And here he is. Now he's headed back for home. Now, I looked that thing up on a map. He's a long way from home. That guy came a long way just to hear about God. He came a long way to find it. This guy is looking for God. And guess what? God's looking for him. Amen. So this morning here, if you're looking for God, he's looking for you. Amen. Just like the preacher said a few minutes ago. Amen. And so there he is. He's riding along in the strangest of places. Amen. There's been some pretty strange places where people have been saved. Amen. I mean, I've seen them saved on a bar stool. Amen. I've seen them saved in churches. I've seen them saved in creeks. I've seen them saved fishing. I've seen them saved in a boat wreck. I mean, I've seen them saved all over the place. Seen them saved in foreign countries, and back in the backwoods in the middle of nowhere. Amen. Amen. God doesn't care where it's at, man. He'll deal with you right where you're at. Amen. He's not looking for a great, well, I got to get to church. You know, he'd already been to church. Church was over. Right? Didn't happen in church. So, amen. And many in here, didn't happen in church. Amen. Mine didn't. Mine happened in my bedroom. Amen. Amen. But I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget the night when the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, amen, and began to speak to me in a personal way. And I'm glad, thank God, I listened, amen. Because when it was over, I came up a new man, right? Amen. Amen. And so You know, all of a sudden here you got verse 30 and along comes Philip. He's running along. I mean, imagine this. You're in the chariot. This guy's running along and he catches you, right? I'd say he had a little bit of help there somewhere, right? And so he catches this chariot and looks up. The guy says, hey, what you reading? Well, I'm reading this thing here. You know, what's the prophet talking about here? I'm reading Isaiah, you know? And so then Philip says, well, you understand what you read? I mean, what good is that book if you don't understand it, right? And you know, for years I tried to understand. My grandma gave me an old King James Bible. They called it leatherette back in the day. Amen. Remember those days? It was paper. It looked like, it was embossed to make it look like leather, you know? And so she gave me that Bible. And because I said this as a 13-year-old boy, my auntie invited me to the wedding. I don't know, what is that church up there? Mennonite Church. And they were having, I don't know, vacation Bible school or something. And so I said, well, I ain't even got a Bible. I can't go to church. To my aunt. My grandmother heard me. She had 69 grandchildren. I'm the only one she ever bought a Bible. Amen. She bought that Bible to hem me in, right? And so I went. You know, I don't ever remember hearing anything about the gospel. I mean, I heard stories. And I heard about Jesus. But I never heard the gospel. You can hear about Jesus and not get the gospel. Yeah. And so then, it wasn't until Kenny Bell, amen, I worked for him. He gave me the gospel. You know what? It still took me 8 years. I was a little hard-headed too. Amen. Like some of you are. Amen. Uh-oh. And were. Amen. Yeah. That's all right. I mean, you know what? We are what we are. Amen. Just be honest with God about it. Amen. You can get somewhere if you'll be honest. Amen. Amen. God will do something for you. I mean, you look at me long enough, even today, you'll see some things that just, amen, blow your mind probably. Why? Because I got this stinking rotten flesh I got to deal with every day.
Right. Right.
Amen.
That's right.
And it's just that. It ain't no good. Amen. And nor is yours.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, we're all a bunch of made over mud balls. Amen. If we're saved, right? I'm telling you, man, there ain't a whole lot to us. Amen. The propensity for the most vile, wicked, heinous crime and sin is right in that flesh.
Right.
Same thing, what's his name? Manson had. Charles Manson. Amen. Oh, not me. You better think twice. Amen. Your flesh, in the immortal words of Don Green, was wicked, wicked, wicked. Amen. And I said, thank you, Brother Green. Amen. So here's this eunuch, you know, and he's riding along, and he hears Phil opens his mouth and begins to preach to him. And you know, he started there in Isaiah. How many places have you started in along the years, Brother John? A bunch, right? You know, folks got this idea. It's one little passage in the book of Romans. And a couple passages in Ephesians. Maybe one in Colossians, and it's all over. Okay, boop, you're saved. No, that's not it, man. I mean, what'd Philip have? Hey, man, he didn't even have the book of Ephesians yet. He didn't have the book of Romans yet. Right? Here he is witnessing to this guy. Out of what? The Old Testament. Amen. I mean, I had a guy get saved out of the book of Genesis. Amen. I mean, what do you know, man? It's all God's word. But if you can't get the gospel in there somehow, amen, you need a real dose of salvation. Amen. I mean, man, I'm telling you. You see somebody looking for God, you see somebody needing God, and they start asking you questions, you ought to be able to take that Bible and give them a reason of the hope that lieth within you with meekness and fear. Amen. From anywhere in the book. And so that's what he's doing. He takes that word of God and he begins to expound on it, begins to explain it. Amen. Tell him what's going on. And, you know, it's not even recorded there where the guy prayed.
How about that?
Huh? Hey, I got to pray the prayer. Well, help yourself. Praise God. I mean, somewhere you got to talk to God about it.
Amen.
I understand that. You better. But it doesn't tell us. It must not have been all that important to God, huh? And so then he goes on down, he says, well, if thou believest with all thine heart, see? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? And so what happens? Now notice this. First of all, he desires Philip, right? Because he's desiring God. He wants God. Amen. And so he's finding him through the scriptures. And you can find God anywhere in the scriptures. It's all him. It's all about him, the whole thing. Written by him, for you and me, about him, right? And so here this thing is. So now he's got, man, I want to know more about this thing. I want to know more about God. You know, from the moment I got saved, the only thing I wanted to know was more about God.
Amen.
41 years later, you know what I want to know? More about God.
Amen.
Man, I used to have all these prayer requests, you know, now I got one. I just want to finish this thing in such a way, Brother John, that my grandkids, my great-grandkids, my kids, all of them down the line, will know one thing when I'm gone. Papa's God was the real thing, man.
Amen.
Papa's God was the true God, the one true God. Amen. Papa's God, amen, answered Papa's prayers. I mean, I got grandkids now calling me, Papa, I got a problem. Would you pray with me? I say, sure, man. Sure, I'll be glad to. Amen. Why? Because they've seen that Papa's God's real. Amen. And that's what I want folks to know. Amen. I don't care what they know about me. Hey, you know what you'll find out about me? I'm a wretch, man. What did Paul say about himself? Oh, wretched man that I am, Romans 7:24. Amen. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Amen. Then he goes on and answers that. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But hey, I'm telling you, every one of us, man, fault and failure, right? Fault and failure. Amen. And I've noticed, Brother John, since I got to be a, say it's like my wife just turned 65, a whole man. You know, since I got to be one of those, I've noticed, Pastor Hain, some of those things that I had victory over 40 years ago come back to haunt me and bother me. And I ain't done them in 40 years. It's like, where'd you come from? Right here.
Yes.
Flesh. Amen. This is supposed to be a message on baptism, huh? I'll get there. Stick with me. Amen. You know, here this guy wants to get baptized all of a sudden. You know, I remember sitting in church. I got saved on Saturday night. Nobody, me and the Holy Ghost in the room. And after I got saved, man, peace flooded my soul. Sunday morning, I wake up and the Holy Ghost says to my heart, he says, you need to go to church. And I thought, they always said the roof would cave in if I went to church. I could almost see the Lord smile and say, no, go ahead and go, it'll be okay. Then I said, well, Lord, where do I go? There's a million of them. And I was in North Carolina. You know what they got in North Carolina? A Baptist church on every corner. In fact, some corners got four Baptist churches, one on each corner. You know? And so, I hated the Baptists. Why? Because you couldn't do what I did on Sunday because the Baptists ran the state. So here I go. I get saved. The first place God says, you can go to that Baptist church. I said, oh, okay. So I went. And man, for the first time in my life, I heard real preaching that found lodging in my soul. I mean, folks were saying amen, and I started saying amen before I even knew it. I mean, yeah, it was right, man. Amen, that's right, preacher, you know. And so, man, invitation time comes. I bowed my head, and the preacher says, all right, this first verse, just as I am, is for you. If you've never been saved, never been born again. I sat there, and I said, well, Lord. The Lord said, no, that's okay. Took care of that last night. Okay. I just sat there. That second verse came. He said, now this second verse is for you if you've never been baptized. Man, I knew I hadn't been baptized. I ran down. The preacher stood like this, Brother Todd. I mean, he was set because I was running. And he had that shock absorber there, you know? And so there it was. He caught me, you know? And he looks at me and says, son, what'd you come for? I said, well, I came to get baptized. He said, okay, so have a seat right there. So I sat on the front row and he finished the invitation out. He said, well, when do you want to get baptized? We're having one tonight. I said, well, preacher, I'd rather my family be here. I'd like them to see me get baptized. You know, there's something to that baptism. There's something to the testimony that goes with that thing. And I couldn't figure it out, but I said, I wanted to see. Amen? And so he said, all right, that'd be fine. That'd be fine. I said, well, there's a problem with that. Oh, he said, what's the problem? I said, well, my wife left me. And she took the kids and they're in Pennsylvania. He said, oh, I see. My office is right back there. And long story short, he sat with me, counseled with me, and taught me how to get in that book, taught me how to get my answers from God, showed me how that book was the truth. And then he showed me how that book had been reading my mail for years. And I said, uh-oh, man, I'm in trouble now. So I got to praying, Matthew 21:22 one day. The preacher said, man, God will speak to you off the page of that book. Matthew 21:22, Brother Ronnie, it's just like the Lord went with a highlighter. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, that shall you receive. The Lord said, your family's coming home. Well, that's 41 years ago. Here she sat. And she stuck with me ever since. Amen. And God saved her. Amen. What a blessing. And so, amen. But that all came just from the baptism. And then she got to see me get baptized. My kids got to see me get baptized, you know. They got to see Papa start his walk with God. You know. And so, here's this guy, amen. He says, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, well, if thou believest. You know one thing I knew I believed in Jesus Christ for my Savior. Amen. I knew he died for me. And I knew what I was trusting in. I knew what I was. And I can tell you what, you can ask my wife. Amen. The change was evident. I mean, people at work the next day. I went back to work, you know, after I got saved. I'd been out of work. The Air Force confined me to quarters. That means they locked me in. Didn't lock me in the house because they didn't put a guard. But they confined me to quarters. And I was there about 6 weeks, 6-8 weeks before I went back. And so I walked into work. And, you know, I didn't come here all the time I was off. All the time I was gone. Guys would see me down at the parties off base and different things. And I had this red afro, you know. And then they saw me in a big old muzzy beard, you know. And there I, yeah, you can imagine what a sight it was. Amen. And I walked into work that Monday morning. And what had happened, they had a barbershop outside. Because everything happened on the weekend. It wasn't barber open when it happened. But right outside the front gate was a barbershop. Started opening at 6 o'clock in the morning. I had to be to work at 7. Base barber didn't open until 8. So I had to get a haircut. I couldn't go to work looking like this. I mean, that's not Air Force, you know what I mean? So I went and got my haircut. Amen. And got a shave. I got cleaned up. I walked into work and they all said, what happened to you? What happened to you? Man, something happened to you. What happened to you? Well, I got a haircut. No. No, a haircut don't do that. What happened to you? You look different.
Right.
I said, I got saved. Oh, there you go, preaching to us. I said, well, you asked, amen. Amen. But believing, amen. So with his desire to know God better, he understands, and Phillips explains some things to him. He understands, you know. Got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you get baptized. You know, there's some folks here today that are about to get baptized, and, you know, they first of all have stated their belief in Christ. You know, as not only the Son of God, but their Savior. Amen. And they stopped believing in whatever they were believing in, or whatever they were struggling with. They finally got victory over that thing. Finally got through to God. God got through to them. Amen. And now they're liberated. They're made free in Christ. Amen. And so, amen, it's time. Amen, it's time. So, you know, now not only they say it, hey man, I accepted Christ. I can see it in Mike's face. Boy, he's growing like a, I don't know, men white light bulb today. Amen. I'm telling you, man, it shows. It shows. And so what happens? They're not just saying it. Now they're going to do something about it. You ever say, you know, put action to your words, you know, put a little feet to your prayers. I mean, do something, amen, so people can see. Amen. I mean, yeah, they ought to be able to see the countenance, but show them with your life, man. Follow the Lord and show them what it's like. Be an example to them, right? Well, Jesus got baptized. Amen. Good example, right? And it's not that's an act of obedience, amen, to the great commission of God, amen. When God gave the commission, the Lord gave the commission to the apostles. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. See what you do. You teach them first. And when they receive it, believe it. You baptize them, right? Amen. And so that's what they're what's going to be done. It speaks of their salvation, and it gives credence to what they've been saying. Amen. Hey, man, I got saved. Really? Well, you know, what did James say? Show me your works by your faith. Right? Now show me your faith by your works. Right? Well, show them. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's to be a testimony. It's to let the world know. Amen. What God did inside of you. And I'll never forget some of the folks we've baptized over the years. Baptized a fellow named Owl in New Guinea. Now, Owl was a bushman. He was from so far back in the woods. I mean, about the only thing there was him and the worms, I think. Now, he was way back in the woods, but he'd come out to church. He'd walk about 2 hours to get to church. And he'd show up. First time he showed up, he had a vest on. That's all he had up here was a vest. Out of a three-piece suit. That vest looked like somebody had given it to him in World War II. And he'd been changing oil in the cars for all that time. I mean, it was just grease. And it was just, I think it originally might have been gray, but pretty much black when I saw it for the first time. So he's got that vest on. Then he's got a tanket right here. It's a belt about like that, made out of bark, goes around his waist, and then Tankit leaves, and they fork him like that, and the leaves are about that long. So it goes just below his knee a little bit, and he's got all these leaves, and that's what he's wearing. Tankit leaves and a vest and a three-piece suit, and a little knit cap they make over there. And he shows up, and he says, "Want to go to church?" I said, "Well, there's a seat. Have a seat." So I sits there. He comes back, I don't know, several months in a row, and he finally one day, the lights came on. He's like, boing! And man, he received Christ. He got saved. So we were having a baptism. It's a big thing in New Guinea because if you get baptized, the Catholics over there, the Lutherans even over there, will teach you that if you go to their church, that if you get rebaptized, we'll throw some water at you as a kid, but if you get rebaptized by them Baptists, you're going to go to hell. Now imagine trying to overcome that in somebody's mind.
Right.
So it took me another year to get all the kinks out of his head with that. And finally one day he comes to me and he says, "Brother Cliff, we're having another baptism." He said, "I want to work on the mission station." I mean, he lived 2 hours away. And I would pay guys to work. I would pay more than any company would pay. The sugar company, Romney Sugar, paid the most in the country. They paid him $2 for a 12-hour day. I paid him $1 for a 12-hour day. I paid him $2 for a 6-hour day. And so they'd come and work. And he'd come and work. He said, "I want to work on the mission station." I said, "Wow, why do you want to work on a mission station?" He said, "Well," he said, "Brother Cliff," he said, "I need to buy some used clothes." I said, "Oh, you're going to put clothes on." "Okay, well, what do you need to buy used clothes for?" "I know the guy's dirt poor. He ain't got two nickels to rub together. That's why he's asking me to work." And so I said, "What do you need used clothes for?" He said, "Brother Cliff, it's time for me to get baptized." "Amen? Yeah, we can do that." I said, "But wait a minute." I said, "You know, I know you don't have no money. And I know you don't work much. You just kind of hang out back there in the woods." I said, "So, you know, you realize that the clothing isn't the issue, right?" He said, "I realize." He said, "I want the whole world to know that I became a new man in Christ."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I got pictures of him. He showed up at the baptism in his tank leaves and his little suit there. But he had been, the pastor came. And here's Awa out there digging a ditch and flinging the dirt. And he said, "What's Awa doing working here?" I said, "Well, he wanted to buy some clothes." "What do you want to buy clothes for?" He said, "Well, he wants to get baptized. He wants everybody to know he's a new man." He said, "Well, I got clothes that'll fit." Before it was over, he had a bigger wardrobe than everybody else in the church. In fact, he had half of theirs. Amen. Plus, he went and bought him a pair because he wanted to buy them. So he worked, he bought them. So he shows up to baptism and that tanket leaves and that, you know, little vest there. And he's standing there like kind of like this, you know. But after as he went back to get baptized, before he did, he went off in the woods and changed that outfit into a pair of blue jeans and a white shirt. So we baptized him in blue jeans and a white shirt. I got a picture of him standing on a rock just beaming, right? Amen. Why? He wanted everybody to know. Wanted everybody to know what he got. You know, and then another fellow, you know, it's an act of obedience. Another fellow comes and he says, "Preacher," he says, I got to get baptized." I said, "Well, why you got to get baptized?" He said, "Because I got to obey God. You said if I don't, I ain't obeying God." I said, "Well, that's what the Bible said right there." I said, "It's an act of obedience. He told us to do it, so therefore, what do? We do it." So, okay. He said, "Well, okay." He said, "When are we having baptism?" I said, "Next week." He said, "Okay." And he gets baptized. And he becomes a pastor. And he's still over there today. Amen. You know, if you don't obey an order, what happens to you? I mean, I was military. Preacher was military. How many other people, you know, you're military? You know? I mean, the old boy comes up, issues you a lawful order, and you say no, it's not going to be good for you. Amen? Well, imagine that. God gives us an order, and how many people don't obey it? Huh? Wonder how much trouble we get in. You know, the little old lady in the Ukraine. Man, she wanted to get baptized so bad. She's feeble. I mean, she's feeble. She's got to be in her late 80s. I was over there. I helped a missionary friend that was struggling getting the church going. And about 3 weeks, we got enough people saved that he could, you know, have a baptism and legally, you know, write them into the church. They had to have a paper that said, "You got so many. These are all baptized members of the church. So they're ready for your church." So I think he had to have 10. I think we had about, I don't know, 14. But this little old lady comes to get baptized. And the only thing we got for baptism, this is like November, you know, and it's in Ukraine. It's kind of like here. You know, it's kind of like sometimes you got to cut the ice off, you know. So the missionary had bought a house. And the house had, it was owned by a mobster, and he had to flee for his life, so he got it cheap. Nice house, but it had this pool down in the basement. It had a pool here and a sauna right there, but the pool could be heated if you put hot water in it. So he mixed it up so it had fairly warm water, you know. And this little old lady comes, and we couldn't get her down, no way to get her down in there. So he took a plastic chair, you know, one of them plastic, just, and so she sits down in the chair, the missionary grabbed one side, I grabbed the other, and we took it over and went down both of them, like that, tipped it over backwards, brought her back up, stood her back, and she almost jumped out of the chair back on the side, man. She was so happy, you know. She wanted to be a testimony. She wanted to obey God, amen. And, you know, I know folks use that thing over there in 1 Peter 3:21, you know, they say, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. But they stop right there, you know. And some folks, they'll stop right there and they'll say, see, baptism saves you. You got to have baptism to be saved. Read the rest of the verse. When you read the rest of the verse, it says, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God. Amen. So you know what it is? When you obey God, what do you have? A clear conscience.
Right. Right. Right.
Now, man, it's a lot easier to get along with God. It's a lot easier to get along with people when you're right with God. Amen. So, amen. So she just wanted to obey God. You know, it doesn't wash away your sin. I mean, thinking about just the vile things that have gone through your mind. You don't have to get into the acts. Just the vile things that have gone through your mind since you've been saved. You know? I mean, yeah. I ain't been saved that long, preacher. Yeah, but give it time. Amen. You still got flesh. You'll have to put that thing down somewhere. Amen. It doesn't wash it away. Man, I wish it did sometimes, because then all mine had been gone a long time ago and I never had them again. But they're not washed away in that water. Uh-uh. No, they're washed away how?
Blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Christ. Amen. Just a clear conscience. That's all baptism does for you right there. I asked a fellow one time. I went to witness to him. And he said, I'm a Lutheran. I said, well, good for you. I'm a Baptist. And I started witnessing some more. And he said, I was born a Lutheran. I said, were you born in the back row or what? No, my mother was a Lutheran. I said, oh, well, did that get you in the door because she was a Lutheran? Well, no, I had to become a Lutheran as I got older. Oh, okay. I said, well, you got baptized. I said, did you get wet? And he went, wet? I said, yeah. I said, you know, most of them folks like that, I said, they stick their hand down a little cup of water and they go like that at you. You don't even get wet. I see, you know, in this picture here, amen, and a couple others, they too went down into the water.
That's right.
Pretty hard to get into the water when you're just like that, right? I said, here's the Bible way, and I described it to him. In fact, I had a guy with me sitting there, and we went through the motions. I said, see that? What that pictures is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what that is for, amen, is to tell the world, you now identify with that. He's my Savior. I believe that, amen. I believe in Him for the salvation of my soul. And He raised, and just like He raised, Romans 6 says, I'm raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Amen. So it's just an outward testimony what God's already done on the inside. But what happened on the inside? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Inside of us, the Spirit of God sealed that soul.
Amen.
Amen. And it calls it a baptism. Immersed us, just like being immersed in water.
Yeah.
I mean, your entire soul is covered, amen, sealed until the day of redemption. And so what happens? It can't get out. Amen. When you get saved, truly born again, you can't get out of it. Furthermore, you won't want to. Amen. Nothing like it. But what happened? Romans 6:4 said this. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Where are you going to get planted where people can see you? Water baptism. And you know, when they put dead people in the ground, you ever see them bury anybody face down? You know, so I've heard folks that baptize face down. That does not picture death, burial, and resurrection. I've never seen a dead body go in the ground face down. They all go in face up. 10 toes up, looking straight up, amen. You know why? When they get resurrected out of that thing, first thing they're going to see is God, amen. Amen. It's a picture of a death, burial, and resurrection. And that's why they baptize you the way they do. Amen. And you'll hear them say, a lot of them say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. And as they walk out, it said, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. I mean, some guys get real, you know. I don't know what the right word is. It's one of these big words, probably. Amen. They get real proper, I guess, with it. I'm not too proper. You can already tell that. Amen. But when you know, when the pastor puts you down, man, he puts you down to picture the death. You know what you're saying when you go into that water? I'm dying, me. I am no more. And I get raised, as I get raised to walk in newness of life. I say, man, how in the world are you dying and living? The same way Paul said it in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So if you're crucified, what are you? Dead. Amen. Pretty deep, huh? Well, if you're dead, then what happens? Hey, listen, if you're dead, you're just done. But you're dead, you're buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's still a life going on here, and the one that's in here outlasts this one out here. This one's going to perish, that one ain't. Amen. Knowing this, that our old man's crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Amen. So the baptism pictures, amen, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It pictures what the Lord did for you on the inside.
Amen.
Amen. And then he says this, Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. See, there's a lot of let not. There's a lot of lets in that New Testament. You know, let the mind of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, and let the word of God dwell in you richly. You know, and let this mind be in you. Amen. Well, there's a let not. Let not sin. You know what sin has to do before we do it? It has to check with us first. We're the ones that let it. Amen? It's just like the devil. Before he can get to you, he's got to check with God first. Well, before sin can get to you, it's got to check with you first. Because you're the one that's going to say yes or no. We're doing that or we ain't. Amen? Big word, N-O. Amen? Lastly, I'll say this. Baptism justifies the testimony of the believer. Amen. It's just a justification. What's it do? To prove or show to be just or conformable to law, right, justice, propriety, or duty. Amen. To vindicate as right. We cannot justify disobedience or ingratitude to our Maker. That's the dictionary. It solidifies what you say, man. Everything you said about getting saved, it's a picture of it. It solidifies it. I mean, it's like a seal. Your testimony is sealed now. Amen. Now, go and walk in newness of life. I mean, show them all who Jesus is. Amen. Tell them all about it. Man, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm 40 years, I still can't shut up. I love it, man. I pull into a truck stop. First thing I do, man, I'm out. I like long lines at truck stop. Why? It gives me time to witness. Amen. The trucker, you got a captive audience, right? I mean, there they are sitting in a truck waiting for fuel. You know, they can't back up. There's two guys behind them, right? Well, there you go. You got them. Amen. It works. But it justifies you. Just like Awa, man. He told everybody after that. Not only was he standing there attention beaming when he got his picture taken, but every day thereafter, man, he always had a glow about his face. There was light in his eyes. Amen. Why? He had obeyed Jesus Christ. He had obeyed the command of God. Amen. And he made a testimony for it publicly to the world, right? It justified everything he'd been talking about. Amen. You know, back in the early church, you know, most were Jews, and for a Jew to be baptized was a big deal. I mean, not only just did they get baptized, but while the baptism was going on, they're having a funeral on the other side of town. And the family, cutting them out of the family. They're actually having a funeral. And that's not just Jews. I've known some Gentile countries, especially in some Hamitic countries, where they do that. I mean, you know, the family's over there already crying. And this guy's over here shouting the victory, and the family's over there crying the blues because they're killing him, right? They're putting him in the grave. They're having a funeral. Why? Because he's no longer a family member because he got baptized into that Baptist church, you know, they all say. He just got baptized as a testimony. He got baptized to be obedient. He got baptized to show the world, man, look, I am a new creature. I am going to live for God.
Amen.
Amen. A live creature on the inside. You know what it's waiting for? The old timers used to say, the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
Amen. It's not a, well, I hope it's going to happen. It's a sure and certain hope. When that book says he's coming again and we're going up, he's coming again and we're going up. Amen.
Amen.
Simple as that. Amen. You can't beat the deal we got. Amen. And there's just something about following those ordinances that God set forth. I notice people. I've watched them now for 41 years. And these guys can probably tell you more. He's been at it, I know, a lot longer than me. Amen. He's been at it since I was a kid. Probably since Moses. No, I'm a kid. But I've watched people. And that thing, making those two ordinances in your life, there's something about it. Okay? After folks do it, there's a change. They've got more, it's like they got more authority now. They don't, it's not that they're flexing it, but they're more open about what they say and do. I've watched it with ordinations. Men who get ordained after that ordination, something happens. I'm not trying to get spooky on you, I'm just telling you what I've observed. There's something goes on at that ordination. That guy comes up different. And his preaching even changes. There's just more of a touch of God to it. Why? Because you obeyed God. See, these are acts of obedience. And that's really the big thing. Because if you don't obey God, what do you get? You get a condemned conscience. Then you got to fight with that for a long time until you get it right. So basically, that's baptism. Praise God for those who are obeying, following, amen, doing right. You know, maybe there's somebody here this morning, you've never been baptized. Maybe you've been born again, never been baptized. Well, would you like to believe God and obey God? Or how's your conscience been? You know, I wonder if it's the answer of a good conscience. Well, what's the answer of a bad conscience? See? It's unrest. It's just uneasiness. It's no peace. Why? Because it's not being right. See? There's something there that's caused that conscience to bother you. Amen. And you know what you'll never find peace till you obey God. You obey God, man. Hey, listen, we're driving down the road at 55 and the speed limit is 55. You drive by that cop, what do? Sometimes I like to smile away. Why? Because I'm going to speed limit, right? But if I'm going 60 and I go by one, what do? Good. Got through that one, right? My wife sometimes, you know, I'm getting old, she says, man, you drive like an old man. I'm about 40, you know. So, well, I am one. It's okay now. I got card-carrying papers to prove it. Well, you can drive a little faster. So I get her up about speed limit. And every once in a while, I'm just kind of not paying attention. I look down and go, whoa. Slow down. Amen. But not long, I'm back to 40. Either way, you know, they can ticket you. So, much better to obey the law. Amen. Much better to obey God. Get the peace of God. Get that seal from God that says yes. And testify to the world, man. Tell them all. I told one guy, and I threw it is. Had a guy get saved down in Carolina. I was down there helping that church. And I mean, he got in, hair hiding on. And so, what hair he had, it's kind of split in the middle. Thin up here. And when he came to church first time, it was blowed back like that. You know? He got baptized. And man, when he got baptized, I told him, I said, look, man, I said, here's what we'll do. Here's how we're going to do it. I described the whole thing to him, and I said, you know what you can do with this? You can use this as a tool to get your family in church. Been trying to get his wife, you know, she wouldn't come. I said, invite your wife, invite your neighbors. This guy was a rascal in the community, you know. I like the rascals. Why? Because when they get saved, man, what a testimony. And so, he's kind of a rascal. I said, look, what you need to do is invite the whole neighborhood. We did, and they came. I mean, there's like, I think there was four sections, I can't remember, three or four anyway. Section of pews, and over in the section where he was, that whole thing was full of people. And the whole rest of the church didn't even fill the other section next to it. I mean, he brought them all. And man, they got the gospel. And you know what he's got in the church down there now? A lot of them, the folks have been getting saved? His neighbors. Amen. Amen. His wife. I mean, you know, use it, man. Use it. God blesses, man, after that thing. Just your simple obedience. Amen. Father, the best I know how, I did what you told me to do. I pray it's going to help and bless him. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dave.